Good morning, everybody. I'm a PhD candidate at The Ohio State University, and I want to share some of the results of my PhD dissertation with you. I developed my research project under the guidance of Dr. Niels Meck and Dr. Warren Dick, that they are here today, fortunately. And I wanted to thank you for your resilience also. our study is located in two long-term experiments that are in northeast and northwest Ohio. The place at northwest Ohio has soils developed on a lake till plain, and they are poorly drained with high organic matter and high base saturation, whereas the soils in Booster are developed on gently rolling landscape, on glacial till. They are more acidic and with less organic matter content. These experiments are as old as 4 decades, 44 years and 43 years each. And every year, soil cover residue is recorded, crop production too, and every 10 years an intensive soil sampling is done. And of course, because of the uniqueness of this place, many researchers land and did some other samplings ad hoc. And you can find at the bottom of this slide a summary or a kind of summary of what was done before. And we observed with Dr. Dick and Dr. Smek that there was a lack of a comprehensive study on the effect of tillage on macro and micromorphology in these plots. Of course, we didn't just work in morphology, we also we were interested in know what happened with the dynamic of soil and soil carbon and nitrogen pools, some other chemical properties. And we include in other studies not just this long-term plot, but also less intensive land use that we are called, or where soils under boots and grass areas. Just a few words more about these long-term plots. They include a complete array of three crop rotations that are listed there, and three tillage intensities. And for the purpose of our study, we pick the plots under continuous corn and under no-till and plow-till. So we discarded some of the other possibilities of the other treatments. And you know that Dr. Smith is a pedologist, and pedologists work with peat. So, and also it's a good idea to have peat to evaluate change in soil morphology. So the fellow in the backhoe dug four peats in both sides, one under the woods, other under the grass cover, and then he made one peat under no-till and plow-till and continuous corn. And as it happened, any time that you dug holes, you need to describe, to do a complete description of the morphology of the site, of the peats. And of course, you take bulk samples to do some routine characterization. And we needed, of course, anti-starved soil samples to study bulk density, porosity, and to do some micromorphology. I will focus on my result that because of the brief presentation that I have on soil organic carbon and some micromorphological features. And I should let you know that what happened in the less disturbed site, boots and grass, are mostly the same thing happens in Booster and Hoyville. So I will just show what is going on in Booster. And I will ask you to mentally shift the axis to the right and add one unit more in order to realize what is going on in Hoytville that has higher organic matter background. But it's the same thing, it's the same pattern. Of course, you can see when you have less disturbance, organic matter accumulates in a kind of sharp pattern with depth. And you see that the main difference between boots and grass is that this it is decrease with depth is less sharper under grass. And the reasons that we mention and we think about it is a different root activity and root pattern with depth in grasses that explain a greater contribution with depth. And also we think that there is a different faunal activity in both places. Looking at the agricultural land uses in Hoytville, you will see easily that no-tillage tends to mimic what is going on in the forest place or in the wood place, with a really, really neat increase in the first 2 inches of the soil. And then there is not so sharp decrease. We were expecting probably a lot less in 15 centimeters, but we could see that when 40 days pass by, deeper soil organic matter accumulation also happens under no-till in both soils, in fact. You will see that in next fall booster. And of course, the organic matter pattern in under plow-till is more homogeneous for the plow layer and decrease deep down. But also we got more organic matter accumulation beyond the plow layer, so deeper than the plow layer. I flip the position, the slide on the left right now is plow-till, and the pattern is almost the same, but of course the scale is different because the soil organic matter content at booster is a little bit depth. But you will see that both treatment, both tillage intensities allow deep organic matter accumulation. And of course, you know that we cannot just speak about soil organic matter content on mass basis, we should think in volumetric basis. So here they are. We plug our SOC or soil organic carbon contents to bulk densities, and we got that. The first column is showing you the original value in 1963 for Hoytville. This is the carbon pool at the depth of 31 centimeters, and the reason to consider these depths was that we perceive that the plow layer at the booster site was as deep right now as 31 centimeters. So we made our calculations, and woods and grass that were the less disturbed land uses accumulated or retained more organic carbon than the agricultural ones, and no-till performed better than plow-till, but not strikingly good. Or the difference was not so good, and you can see that the disturbance due to agriculture is still a lot higher. We think that no-till could have some possibilities to give greater values in the future, but maybe not so different from plow-till. And maybe one of the reasons of this result is that we start with a really, really high organic matter background. This is what happened at Booster, and the surprise there is that both agricultural land use accumulate carbon. So both are sequestering carbon according to the original values that we recorded. And apparently this soil that is well drained, this is the main difference with the Booster site. With Hoytville site, this soil is a better performer in terms of organic matter sequestration, and our woods are not behaving as we expected because probably they are in an eroded area, and the amount of litter that we recorded is pretty low. So probably we can consider that our woods are marginal woods, so are not a good example of woods probably in this study. But at least, again, no-till performed better than plow-till in terms of organic carbon pools. I want to show you, because this is part of the pedologic fingerprint of Niels Meck, some slides, because this is the way that we also approach the change that tillage did in soil physical properties and structure and aggregation. And this is a microphotograph of Hoytville, a no-till slide, and you will see, let's see if I can do it, yes, it's taking it. This round aggregate means that biological activity was the cause of having this aggregate there. And you will see that most of the aggregates in this picture are kind of round. Probably that was a blocky structure, and there were many lenses too. But there are many signs of increased biological activity under no-till. This is a picture of Hoytville again, under plow-till, and one interesting thing is that we found many residues in the AP1 in both tillage treatment, no-till and plow-till, and you can see some of these residues here. This is a fiber of corn, and the composition already started, and most of the time you can see under the microscope that the size of the residues start diminishing, and also most of the time that happened in the macropores, and microaggregates are also associated with these macropores. This is just to show you what happened at the very beginning when no-till started, increased a lot bulk density, there was a lot of compaction. You can see that in the lenses that are here, but if you pay attention, close attention, these lenses are starting separating, and they are accounting right now for lower bulk density in the AP1. This is our last trend. So from compaction, we are moving from compaction to more porous stage due to biological activity and increased organic matter incorporation in the AP1. And finally, another surprising thing to me was to find out that also plow-till has a lot of porosity. And you will see that most of the time this porosity is vesicular. That means if these round pores most of the time are not connective. So you got a lot of porosity, but it's non-connective at all. And you can see the contrast here and the cross-polarized lights. Okay, what can I say quickly? I'm finishing right now. We develop a better or a stronger structure under no-till, mostly due to the increased biological activity and probably root activity and disturbed root activity in both soils. And that led to lower bulk densities, at least in what we can call right now the AP1. And increased unconnective macroporosity that most of the time leads to increased water percolation. And the soil carbon pool was always higher under the grass area in both sides, and was also a lot higher under woods in Hoytville. And that means that undisturbed land use are allowing for more carbon sequestration, but the good news is that at least no-till compared to plow-till was always allowing to create conditions for greater carbon sequestration or at least less carbon oxidation in Hoytville. So this is what I have. Okay.